stand by. Good day, and welcome to the North Carolina Dreamers call. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ali Noorani. Please go ahead, sir.
Great. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, folks. My name is Ali Noorani. I'm the Executive Director of the National Immigration Forum, based here in Washington, D.C. We are thrilled to every day work with a range of education, faith, law enforcement, and business leaders across the country to advance a more constructive approach to the nation's immigration system. Obviously, these days, that approach and our focus is very much on a resolution for DACA recipients and urging members of Congress and the administration to move forward on a bipartisan compromise to protect Dreamers. Just a little context, so we're all clear in terms of kind of what flight we've signed up for on this call. Last September, the Trump administration announced an end to the program known as DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, a program that currently protects approximately 800,000 young undocumented people from deportation while providing them work authorization. The end of DACA on March 5th will be a significant moment for hundreds of thousands of young people. Already about 17,000 have lost their protection since last September, and approximately 122 lose their protection every day. After March 5th, that number will jump up to approximately 1,700 per workday. The North Carolina delegation is incredibly important in terms of advancing a bipartisan compromise on this particular question, and that's why today we're thrilled to have Walter Strickland, first vice president of the Southern Baptist Convention, who lives in Wake Forest, and then Casey Grantham, executive director at Golden Door Scholars in Charlotte. So with that, let me turn to our first speaker, Walter Strickland. Thanks for joining us, Walter.
Thank you for having me. And so I'm just grateful to be a part of the call. And I want to start with just referencing yesterday's events where several Christian leaders were in Capitol Hill, or on Capitol Hill, urging both parties in Congress to pass a solution now for Dreamers. And so I along with 1,500 other evangelical pastors and leaders, signed a document urging Congress and the president to really keep valuable people who are here in mind as they're crafting immigration policies and solutions. So as Christians, I want to speak on that front. We are especially mindful of groups highlighted in this letter that we've signed, including Dreamers, refugees, persecuted Christians, and families awaiting reunification. And Dreamers in particular, they're invaluable members of our communities and of our churches and Christian colleges and universities and ministries as well. And we're just wanting them to be able to remain in the United States to continue to contribute to this country in which they love. So any solution that we hope for would be adhering to biblical principles, including family unity and dignity for Dreamers and for other immigrants as well. Because in many cases, these were people who were brought to our country by their parents. And they want to desperately contribute their skills and their talents and their allegiance to a country that they've known and they call their home. And so we're committed to trying to do our best to keep these folks here. And so there's an estimated 800,000 individuals who have received DACA since 2012, and about 200,000 of them identify as evangelical Christians. And so as evangelicals, we believe that all immigrants are made in the image of God, and we must treat them with the utmost dignity. And this comes directly from the Bible. In the Old Testament and New Testaments alike, God commands his people to treat foreigners with hospitality, even as though they were native-born in many cases. And so we are especially at this juncture, as Ali mentioned, we're concerned about the future of Dreamers because they offer so much to our country. And if I'm thinking back on my own experience, there are so many people who I've now run into these days who are concerned about their future here, and it's because I didn't know that they were Dreamers back then, but now I'm aware that they are Dreamers and then DACA recipients. And so followers of Christ are called to do justly and love mercy, and this means standing alongside dreamers as we are trying to do justice for them. So to that end, it's time for Congress to act and to seize the moment to pass a legislative solution to protect these young people and help them to continue to contribute to our society permanently.
Thank you so much, Walter. Thank you very much for joining the call and for everything that you've done, but also the convention writ large and the Southern Baptist community writ large. It's been incredibly helpful, incredibly powerful. Oh,
you're very welcome.
Our next speaker is Casey Grantham, Executive Director at Golden Door Scholars in Charlotte, North Carolina. Casey, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Walter, for that as well. So since 2012, Golden Door Scholars has actually selected and put through college 258 high-performing DACA students, so many of whom are still in college right now. We have students at 35 colleges and universities across the country, and 25 of whom have graduated now and are working at places like Samsung, Workday, other tech companies, a few who are in master's programs. We have three that just started PhDs at Duke. So these are some very high-performing students who we're really proud of, and we have a 98% persistence rate in our program. So these are DACA students who are maintaining 3.0 and above averages at some really tough schools. But on the flip side of that, we had over 5,000 students apply for those 258 scholarships. So what that means is we've had to turn down thousands of students who really deserve to go to college but don't get any federal aid or in-state tuition in many states to help them with that. These DACA students are really incredible members and valuable members of their collegiate and business communities, and they're living in fear right now with really high anxiety. Many are studying and working at the same time while also serving as primary caregivers for family members, volunteering in their communities, and just being really critical and active parts of civic life. So they're anxious and they're fearful, and deporting them would be an incredible loss for them and their families, but also for us as a country, for their school communities, for their business communities. These are people I'm really proud to know and to be a part of their lives, and I just think we would be missing out on so much if we lost them as part of our communities. And actually, the founder of Golden Door Scholars, Rick Elias, is also the CEO of Red Ventures, which is a large tech company in Charlotte. We have 4,000 employees here, and dozens of those are DACA recipients who, from the business side, we would lose those students as well, or those employees as well, if their DACA were to expire, if they were to be deported. That would be a huge loss for our business as well. And I know there are companies around the country that are, concerned about that issue as well. So it's just really important, I think, from multiple angles, that we have to protect these dreamers with permanent legislative solutions.
Thanks so much, Katie. And I mean, it's been amazing to see so many of these scholarship programs pop up around the country and really help young people advance their own dreams, but also just become incredible contributors to the local economy.
Well, and I want to emphasize too how much the schools do. So the schools co-fund. I don't want to skip over that. The colleges and universities have been huge advocates for dreamers, not only the ones that we partner with, but colleges and universities across the country.
That's great. Thank you. Operator, can we just provide the instructions for questions, and I'm going to have a follow-up for Walter and Casey. But go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press *1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment.
So, Walter and Casey, Senator Tillis of North Carolina has been really, I think, a very constructive player in this. And, earlier last summer, he and Senator Lankford introduced the SUCCEED Act. And obviously, Senator Tillis is now, I think, he's going to be in the middle of these negotiations as the Senate takes up legislation next week. So from your different perspectives, from the faith perspective, from the educator perspective, what is your message to Senator Tillis going into, what's going to be a rip-roaring debate in the Senate next week?
I'd love to start. And I'm grateful for what Senator Tillis has done thus far, even proposing an act. But as he continues to fight this battle, I'd like him to know that there are the constituents that I represent are overwhelmingly for permanent legislative action for Dreamers. I know in the public eye, Southern Baptists have this perhaps a picture of being even divided amongst ourselves sometimes, because there's just so many of us with 46,000 plus churches that are in the convention. But very rare is the moment when there is a overwhelmingly unified voice, and this is actually one of those moments. And so if he's wondering if his constituency is behind them, especially those who are Baptists from the Baptist tradition, especially Southern Baptists, we are excited to cheer him in all of his efforts to bring about these permanent legislative solutions for Dreamers.
Thank you, Walter. Casey, from your perspective?
Yeah, so I think the thing that I would say, and that our team here would say, is that we think about this as a civil rights issue and a human rights issue, not a political issue. And I know that Senator Tillis and others who are working on this issue have to deal with the realities of politics, but I just urge those senators and Congress people to meet and know these DACA recipients and understand the challenges that they are facing, just like other constituencies face, and that a lot of the rhetoric feels like it comes across as them being pawns. They feel like pawns, I think a lot of them have told me, sort of political pawns, and that's not the right way to treat people and for people to feel. So as they're going through their days, not to forget that these are real human beings' lives who they're dealing with, and make sure that we talk about them and treat them as such. And we understand there's going to be compromise. Our main focus is supporting a solution for DACA students and making sure that that we solve this issue. And I understand there's a lot that goes around that, but we're just advocating and making sure that there's a solution for these students or these DACA recipients.
Thank you so much, Casey. I think we've got a question queued up.
Yes, we'll go to Martha Quillen with Raleigh News and Observer.
My question is actually about the numbers. We see national numbers and some state numbers, and they vary depending on the source. I'm just wondering how you estimate how many DACA recipients there are in North Carolina, for example, or in any other state.
Sure, this is Ali. So the numbers tend to range from 690,000 nationally to up to 800,000. The numbers are typically pulled from data that's released by U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, the agency that is providing the authorizations. And then from there, we whittle down, different organizations will whittle down to state by state. In terms of good resources for, the numbers that we turn to, the organizations that we turn to are the Migration Policy Institute. They have a good breakdown by state. And I would also say that the American Immigration Council. And happy to send you some follow-up information on those numbers.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Sure.
And as a reminder, that is star one to ask a phone question.
Casey, Walter, any closing comments, questions that you'd like to make before we let everybody go get their lunch?
Casey, I'll allow you to go first if you have a comment.
I don't think I have a comment that's too different than the things that we've already said. I really appreciate the things that Walter has said too. I'm really glad I got to hear that. I guess I'll reemphasize what I said before, which is every time we and the people that I work with and the people that I know hear the discussion around this, it seems very distanced from the real lives of people. And I think that we need to make sure across multiple issues that we don't do that, that we really focus on the real people behind these policy decisions that we're making who are going to be affected. And I guess I would just encourage all of the policymakers and politicians who are working on this to do that.
And I would just piggyback on what Casey was saying. Oftentimes, if we are distanced from a people, we problematize them and treat them as an issue and not people. And relationships are the way in which we actually overcome that reality. So I would encourage those who are very, very busy about the business of trying to figure out what that legislative solution would be. I would say I know that there's a lot to do, a lot of emails to answer, a lot of phone calls to make, but you would do well to take a moment to have lunch with a dreamer and just hear them, hear their story, because that's the person that you're actually a people that you're actually engaging and talking about throughout the day. So that's really my only closing comment, because I think we've pretty much kind of covered the range of things.
Well, thank you very much. From Charlotte, we've got Casey Grantham, Executive Director at Golden Door Scholars. And then from Wake Forest, Walter Strickland, who is the first Vice President of the Southern Baptist Convention. I want to thank the press for jumping on the call. We'll have a release and the recording moving around shortly, and we will follow up with the data in terms of DACA recipient numbers at a state and national level. Again, thank you very much for joining, everybody, and have a great afternoon.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
That does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation.